is the McDonald's Mikey Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Well. Here we go again.
Yeah.
We're back. And better than ever. The Viking Round Ball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after your tournament game, McDonald's and high school tournament basketball sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Regardless of where in the world you are, whatever you might be doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy, busy schedule in the middle of March to get caught up on everything that is Viking basketball. My name's Carl Knox. His name is district champion coach Matthew A. Combs of the Vinton County Varsity Basketball Team. Hey, how you doing?
All right. How's it going?
Good. You've probably been laying around all weekend in your mink robe, smoking your pipe.
Yeah.
Enjoying Friday night's district championship win against the Fairfield Union Falcons. Congratulations.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Obviously, a great accomplishment for our kids and, a memorable evening for sure.
Yes. One of those, I guess you put, this one has to go in the top five too. So
yeah, it was a great, it's just been a great run, and I don't really think a whole lot about, I told somebody that the other night, I try not to really compare, teams or whatever, but this has just been a really fun team to coach. We've said that before on all these shows, but so it's fun to see them accomplish something like that, and it's just been really, really enjoyable.
It's been really enjoyable, but quite honestly, it's had to have been very hectic for you. Hectic in a fun way, but
yeah,
it's
hectic. It is hectic because you get, whenever you win one of these games, and then, everything kind of starts over again in terms of paperwork that has to be submitted, pre-sale. So the AD end of it's kind of stressful, and have to balance that. I have to balance that so that I can make sure that I'm ready for practice that night too, and do what. The main thing, which is just try to coach these guys and get them ready for the next one. So, but it, I wouldn't trade it. Obviously, there's a whole lot of teams that are relaxed right now, but I don't want to be them. I'm glad we're still in it. So, we're just gonna keep plugging away.
Now we're gonna kind of go through the whole gamut, not only the game, your weekend, all that. But I do want to let our listeners know we got not one guest, we got two guests. I was gonna make the second guest a surprise, but someone was eavesdrop. Our first guest, by the way, is none other than Coach Norm Pearson from Oak Hill High School. We've had Norm on before, but Norm is sometime in April. Don't have my crib sheet in front of me, but late part of April, he is going to be inducted into the Ohio High School Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame, which is a big deal. It's a very big deal. We had Coach Jim Osborne, probably one of the only coaches in this area that I'm aware of.
Well, we've had Rick Van Meter.
That's right. Barry, because
I'm just going recently. Tom might be getting, is Tom getting put in this year?
Or I don't
was
think
that
so.
Last year, maybe it was last, I think Tom, can't remember. I think he got put in, but I know Rick, Larry Jordan. I'm just thinking of a few that I had gotten the opportunity to be there for and see. I think Tom got put in last year because I remember telling him that I apologize I couldn't make it. We had something going on and I couldn't be at the, I really enjoy going to the Hall of Fame banquet. If anybody, anybody can go if they want to buy a ticket and go. And it's a special evening, really nice suit and tie event, nice dinner. You hear all these coaches get up and kind of give a talk. Mm-hmm. And I just enjoy that part of it. I love listening to coaches that have been around just talk about the game a little bit and talk about their careers. And, with Norm, I think it was a foregone conclusion. Obviously, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, just a matter of when. And it's great that he gets put in now while he is still active and gets the opportunity to be put in, and you know, that'll be fun. I can't remember the exact date either. They do that. The whole weekend's a really nice weekend. They have like the top 100 showcase, and then mm-hmm. they have North South All Star Game, mm-hmm. and then they do the Hall of Fame. They kind of knock it out all in one.
It's like
weekend.
A Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday.
Yeah, I think
it's
the Hall of Fame is Saturday night
Saturday.
Typically,
yeah.
And then they're making some changes of that though. So I'll have to look into that, because I think maybe the North South game might be on Friday night this year for the boys. Of course, we're going to have Jordan Albright playing in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've announced that on the show or not before, but Jordan will be in the North South game. Rebecca Puckett will be in the girls' North-South.
Rebecca or Michaela?
Oh, Michaela. I'm sorry. Rebecca. That would have been a few years back.
Yeah.
That shows you how old I'm getting. I call everybody by their siblings' names. But, no, Michaela Puckett, sorry, will be in the North-South. So we have a boy and a girl, and that's never happened at the same year before here, where we have them in the North-South game. So, anyway, it's a fun weekend. Like you say, it's usually late April. I don't have the date in front of me, but.
Yeah, we'll get that from Norman and get through all his credentials. And he's always a spirited person to interview. I know he's always a lot of fun, and we'll take our jabs at him, and I'm sure he'll take his jabs. But I do, I don't know if he texted you, but I get a text from him Friday night shortly after the game. Congratulations.
Yeah. No, he did. He's always been very, very good to reach out, and always been, you know, a guy that's a mentor to young coaches and tries to help them along. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, and then we saved the best guest for last. This is another repeat guest.
Yeah.
But I just thought, knowing all the chaotic, enjoyable but chaotic things that you've been through over the past, you know, 72 hours, it would be good to get management. I'm talking true management.
Yeah.
None other than Amy Combs is going to join us later in the hour.
Ought to be exciting.
Yeah. What was the first thing you said when you came in here? Do you want to record Amy? I'm like, heck no. No, you got to be here for that. And it was going to be a surprise. And I texted her last night and said, would you do it? And she was like, absolutely. You know, text me tomorrow. Let me know. So she could check her calendar. And then she said, so what, were you looking at her phone or you were looking over her shoulder?
No, we just happened to be standing next to each other when the text came through, and it blew your cover.
Dang. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nosy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the game. Final 53-46. You guys up in the number one seat. Fairfield Union Falcons, a team that, you know, you really gave a great scouting report last week. Big athletic. And it was a game that you were never completely out of it. But, boy, you guys seemed to just have like a 6-4-point deficit, you know, from the first quarter all the way. Really, I think you tied it up at the end of the third quarter, but that was a game that was just a grind from the word go. And obviously with Fairfield Union size, the rebounding, you know, they out-rebounded you guys big time. I think the final rebounding stats, something to the tune of 38-24. But I think the critical stats for you is down the stretch, especially Derrick Jones. Another night, another star comes out for you guys. Right. The free throw shooting for Vinton County was just phenomenal. As you guys,
I think 18 of 19
from the line, and it was a game that you guys just kind of you got the lead at the right time and held on, and just a great effort. I can't say enough about the way the kids played and the way they handled their composure. And I don't think I really ever saw any point in time of the game a look of fear in any of your kids' eyes.
No, I mean, you know, our guys are pretty resilient. They'll hang in there and they'll compete. And we, you know, we talk a lot about in tournaments, you better play four quarters, because you've seen anybody goes to the convent and watches games, you'll see games swing. You know, one mm-hmm. team leads for 2.5-3 quarters. All of a sudden, here comes the other one. And we, you know, we come into the game with a game plan to try and take away a 3-point shot. They hit 4 threes in the first quarter, but then you look back, man, they hit some bombs.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
I mean,
they were NBA almost on the out-of-bounds line. I was like,
so, I mean, we knew they would shoot those, but sometimes it's just difficult to convince yourself to get out that far. I mean, you know, 30, 35 feet away, literally. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Especially
that.
When they have post presence.
A lot of times, you know, you prepare for a team and you think you have them figured out, at least in terms of on paper, and you get into a game and things kind of arise that you didn't expect. I mean, we knew rebounding was going to be tough, but what I didn't account for was us not getting any offensive rebounds. I mean, they were phenomenal at really boxing out. They were holding us to one shot every time, it seemed like. We knew that we'd have a hard time on the defensive glass with them, but I would have thought we could have offensive rebounded a little bit. When you're a team like we are that shoots some outside shots, a lot of times you can chase down some rebounds or whatever, and we didn't get any second opportunities. And fortunately for us, our defense held us in. After that first quarter, I think we only gave up 8 points in the second quarter. I think we had another quarter where we gave up 10, maybe a quarter of 11 or something like that. So after that, I think 17-point first quarter defensively for us, we did a lot better job the last three quarters. And good thing, because, like I said, we were one and done on offense. Luckily, we made enough shots. And like you said, once we were able to get the lead and spread the floor, then we made free throws. But it was a grind. Obviously, the Woodside kid inside was a load. I think he had 22 rebounds.
And he's only a sophomore, too.
Yeah. And again, he's one of those kids you watch live, you watch on film. Okay, he's big, and we're going to have to really – but, man, you get down on the floor, he's really big, and he's really wide shoulder, and he's really,
strong.
Sometimes you just, again, you can't simulate that, and you get into a game, and you have to adjust to it. So, but like you said, our kids were resilient. They hung in there. They never really doubted. They just kind of, kept grinding and competing, and that's what you had to do at the tournament level and hope things in the end can work out for you. So hats off to our guys. I mean, it was a great accomplishment, and I know our kids are excited. I know our community's excited. So, here we are again getting ready for another one, and that's what makes it great in tournament basketball.
Scoring for Vinton County, as we mentioned, Derek Jones really led the Vikings last Friday night with 22 points. Tristan Bartow has 18, Jordan Albright with 8, Chase Wood with 2, Nalen Yates with 3 points for the Vikings, as Derek kind of held you in it until, Tristan could help pick up some slack, and it was just one of those games that, looking back, obviously the free throws were huge, but, what scared me, giving up 17 points to a team like Fairfield Union in one quarter, then you come back and only allow them 8 points in the second quarter. You go into the locker room 25-22, and then you outscore them 14-11 in the third and 17-10 in the fourth. But it was just one of those wins that, when you get into tournament basketball, what happens in the first half and the third quarter really doesn't necessarily matter, because there's going to be a swing at some juncture one way or the other. And you guys, you weathered the storm, and I guess you had the lead at the right time.
Yeah, as long as you don't dig yourself too big a hole, you're right. I think it's a four-quarter game, and, now obviously if you're not careful, and we'll talk about John Glenn in a little bit, they're the type of team with the ability to go on spurts where you can play yourself out of it early if you're not careful, if you turn the ball. But like you say, as long as you're, hanging in there early in the game, then the game's going to be decided in the second half usually. And that's what you have to try to do. And we were able to do that.
Magic Johnson once said, when you're leading the game, when time expires in the fourth quarter, that is good.
Yes, yes. Norm will appreciate that quote. He's a big Magic fan.
I think that's where the whole Magic thing started with Norm. So I'm sure we'll have some classic Norm Pearson, Magic Johnson comments. Quickly, talk about your weekend. I know, the kids down on the floor, Amy and the boys came down. Yeah. The that's always one of those things when you're cutting down the nets, the kids, they're getting their medals, all of that. I can't imagine it never gets old.
No, I mean, when you get to spend it with your family, obviously it's special. The boys have been real excited. Talking about my boys, have been real excited about this.
I know Brevin does. Does Brogan really understand the concept? Does he get it?
Well, he just gets, did we win? Yeah, and everyone's excited. And, he talks about it. He'll bring it up. When's our next game? Are we going back to Convo? He'll say things like that.
So he's kind of jacked about it.
He's excited about it. And we didn't get the opportunity to cut the nets at Logan. Obviously, that's a whole other story. Yeah. But I kind of promised the kids, hey, if we win this, I'll make sure you guys get a chance to get down there with me. So we were able to get them down there, and that was fun. And then Chad with his girls, and Nolan with his boys. It was just nice to get the kids involved. So anytime you can spend it with your family, it makes it a little more fun.
I'm sure you, and for a lot of the fans, I'm kind of curious. The ride back, our family got back into town before your bus did, but we saw the fire trucks lined up there, just across the county line, and knew you got an escort. And of course, with Facebook, there were people taking videos and all that. What a lot of people don't realize, and maybe it changed Friday night, most of your players, I think it's mandatory they ride to the game on the bus.
Yeah.
But then everyone signs out and goes home with their parents, girlfriend, whatnot. How many players were actually on the bus?
Yeah, we had quite a few that rode back with us the other night because I just think it was fun to be together and celebrate it. The reason we do that is anybody that knows Vinton County's geography, we're so spread out, you know, and depending on where you play a game, you know, if you play a game at Meg's and you live
in Wilkesville,
you don't want to come back to MacArthur, pick your son up, take him home. And we try to be, you know, helpful to the parents in that regard and let them sign their kid out. So we've always kind of done that. But in this case, I think the players really wanted to ride together and hang out together a little bit afterwards. So it was a lot of fun.
So the ride back was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't real loud or anything. I got guys just sort of sit around and talked. But then I think when we got back into MacArthur and the people were kind of lined up out there on the road and the kids were like, oh man, it's pretty cool, you know what I mean?
So it was
great.
Well, congratulations, and a lot going on. I know Saturday night, you and Coach Kite, and I think one of your former coaches, Coach Eldridge, joined you.
Yeah,
he went up to Zanesville to scout John Glenn.
Bob Kite rode up with us too, NJ's dad. Always enjoy talking to Bob, man. He's a treat.
Bob stands.
He's fun to talk to, man, because he's been around so long. He remembers everything. The guy's like an elephant. He doesn't forget anything. And he can talk, man. He can start rattling off names from some team back in 1978 that won a state championship. It's unbelievable. He's like an encyclopedia. But he went with us, and we rode up, and we had some other guys end up meeting us up there too, and watched John Glenn play. John Glenn's really, really good, obviously.
Yeah, let's just segue into it. The preview. This is, for our Viking fans, they are what? Number one AP ranked in D2 for Ohio.
Right. They've only lost one game all year. They lost to a team out of New Jersey in a Florida tournament. They beat Akron St. Vincent St. Mary in a game earlier this year. They're a really good basketball team. They're not extremely big, but they play really, really fast. They have good guards. They press you all the time. They run all the time. And really, a lot of teams they play, if you can't handle that speed and that pressure, they'll just overwhelm you. And that's kind of what happened in the district tournament for them. You know, they did that to Philo in the semifinals in Indian Valley the other night when we watched. And, you know, games are 25-4 before you know it.
Let me just read off John Glenn's tournament scores. The first game of their tournament, they beat Minerva 103-32. Then they beat Duncan Falls Philo, score it, like you mentioned, 96-43. And then in their district final at Zanesville, they beat Gotten-Hutton, Indian Valley, 82-43. Drew Rackett? Is it Rackett's?
Racky.
Racky.
Yeah.
He is probably they're good all around, but he's the man.
I think most people consider him their best player. He's a great player.
He's already signed and sealed to VMI Division I, I think.
And then they've got a left-handed point guard, Weir, who's an absolute stud too. So they got two really good guards there. Then they come at you with a couple other guys that are, you know, 6'3", 6'4" on the wings. They're not a super tall team, but they've got 6'3", 6'4" guards, a couple of them. And Weir and Racky can really play. And then they've got a couple other guys can really shoot too. And they just come at you with a lot of different people, it just seems like, with pressure, different waves of pressure. I'll tell you who they remind me of a lot is, and it's funny, it's just, and we didn't even talk about this, but with Norm being on the show today, they remind you of some of those Chesapeake teams that would just press the socks off of you.
Really?
And run. They're like that in a lot of ways. They do it right. They're very fundamentally sound, very well coached. This guy, Coach Woodard, has been around a long time, won a lot of games, and they do it the right way. And they are very hard to simulate in practice. I think that's going to be a challenge. And try to simulate the chaos a little bit and the speed. I think to compete with them, you obviously have to have really good guard play, and I think we do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign for us. And you've got to be able to play at different tempos. You got to be able to play fast. You got to be able to slow it down a little bit at times. So it's a real challenge to handle it for 32 minutes. Conditioning is going to be an issue. You know, being able to keep guys out there, being able to stay out of foul, all those things.
Right.
But we're going into this viewing it as an opportunity. Obviously, we know the challenge, but we're going to view it as an opportunity. And I think we've got some kids that. you know, they feel confident in their ability to handle the basketball, and hopefully that'll help against a team like this. And we'll see. You know, they're, like I said, they're number one in the state for a reason. They're outstanding, no doubt about it. But I can promise you, our kids are going to show up there with the mindset of, you know, we can do this thing and we can compete. And that's what. And if you can't show up with that mindset, then don't show up at all. You know, and I think our kids will. And we'll see what happens.
Tip-off is 8 o'clock Thursday, March the 10th at the Combo. That is the second game. So, Viking fans, this is a double bill Thursday night with the first game at 6:15, a tip between Steubenville and Columbus DeSales at 6:15. So keep that in mind and plan accordingly, because if you think you're just going to show up a little before 7:30, roll in there and get down on the bottom bowl, you're going to be sadly mistaken.
Well, and he said in a meeting yesterday, Wayne Horsley, the tournament manager, who's obviously done a great job with this. It's not an easy thing. He said students are coming back to OU. It's going to be a mess. Parking's going to be a real challenge Thursday night. So, you know, allow yourself some extra time. You may have to – I think the weather's supposed to be nice this week at least, but you may have to walk a little ways, and walk. And
most of our listeners don't probably realize that the last two weekends, OU students were on spring break.
Right. So that helps free some things up and, you know, just general congestion. It helped. And now you're going to have that. So, just keep that in mind if you're going to the game on Thursday.
Okay. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to a legend in his own no, he is a legend.
Yeah.
Coach Norm Pearson of the Oak Hill Oaks. He'll join us next as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Round Ball podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's in high school sports. I'm loving it. Alongside head coach Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. Episode number 63 of the big show. As we continue to talk tournaments, talk accolades with one of our favorite coaches of all time. Not just one of our favorite coaches, right, Coach? He's one of our favorite people of all time.
That's right.
Happy to welcome him in, the cordial and exciting one, Norman J. Pearson. Hello, Coach.
How are you, my man? How you doing?
We're doing good. I haven't been able to talk to you much. I know you've been really consumed with not only your duties as athletic director down at Oak Hill, but, of course, coaching the fine kids down there to another strong season for the Oaks. But also, I know you have to spend a lot of time with your assistants down there, and that's a never-ending job for you, right?
Well, when you have quality people like I have, I mean, they're knockouts. I mean, you're talking about, you know, guys like to have on the bench at Michigan State and Duke. These guys, they just don't get any corners, man.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know Norm, he's a little sarcastic sometimes.
Well, it's I think the best thing that's ever been said to me is that somebody said, "Why do you have those guys on the bench that you have?" And I says, "Because they make me look handsome."
Well,
if that's possible,
that's a good point. Coming up here in April, actually, what date is it? April the 23rd up in Columbus, you're going to be inducted into the Ohio High School Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. First and foremost, congratulations, big honor, and it's kind of one of those things. Like I think Coach Combs said in the first segment, it wasn't a matter of if; it was just a matter of when you were going in. But just another honor that you can hang your hat on, and another award. But obviously, you got to be very pleased and humbled by getting inducted into the Hall.
Well, I mean, anytime you go into the highest honor in Ohio basketball, I mean, it's a tremendous feeling for you. You know, it tells you that they're peers. These are the people that vote on for you, and the people that are very close to our association. They think that you're worthy, and they wanted to put you in. I mean, it was my thing. I mean, I just wanted to go in, and once I retired, which basically, Carl, was the rule, I mean, for most people. But what's happened here in the past, some of the people, they went in, and then once they retired, they felt, you know, they had a little bit of an itch, and they wanted to come back out, and they coached a little bit. So we've had a few situations like that. So, you know, but, I mean, it's a great honor. I mean, they told me, I'm sure Matt was part of some of this the wording that was going on in some of the meetings there, they say, you know, if we don't put him in now, he'll probably die on the bench and he'll never be able to come before. So, I mean, because they don't feel like, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm getting up there at the age of 65. A couple more years is definitely enough for me. So, but no, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great time.
Well, and like you said, Coach, it seems like ever since I got into this Coaches Association stuff and being director after you and Oz had done it for 20-plus years, the one thing that's really cool about it is when you get one of these honors, like you say, it's your colleagues, it's your peers that are recognizing you instead of just maybe an outside, like a newspaper reporter or whatever, nothing against them. But when you get recognized by your peers, that's a pretty cool thing.
Well, I think that's the most important thing, you know. You know, people always have opinions about coaches, you know, this and that, and, you know, especially in a small community like we have. So now when you're going all through the state of Ohio and you're getting that support from everybody throughout our state and through our association, and, you know, people, but they got to help to vote it in and things of that nature. So I think it makes it a little bit more special when they're doing something like that. It's not just like a, you know, your Coach of the Year award, like in your conference or in my conference, Matt, but or our district award. This is something that goes all through the state for longevity.
And for people who you know, probably know the name, but maybe not know all of, you know, your history, your coaching goes back to what, 1972? Is that when you started?
Oh, God, I'm not really great on dates, but I think that's pretty much
yeah, something like that.
You know, everybody say, you remember this? I remember the teams, and I remember the happenings, but I never remember the dates real good.
You started out actually coaching 6 years at Oak Hill, then went to Wilmington for 2 years. Then for the next 21 years, you were at Chesapeake, became your home of, and that's when the Panther Pride started. You had 16 league title championships, 12 of them consecutive, 10 Division III district championships. You know, we're sitting here today celebrating Coach Combs' second, so listeners chew on that for a little bit. Five times Peak reached the regional championship game in 2005. Chesapeake named the court after you in your honor, and then in 2006 you left. In 21 years, Chesapeake won 400 games and lost 85 for an 88% winning percentage. You took over the program at Oak Hill. Of course, that led to the state championship in 2009. So, you know, I think as of the date of this press release I'm reading, you had 676 wins, which that was back, gosh, that this was released a month or so ago. So you've done that. You've also received the Paul Walker Award in 2002. You're in Hall of Fames for the Ohio Athletic Directors Association, Warren G. Harding High School, or where you graduated, as well as the Chesapeake High School Hall of Fame. And I know now you've been involved with the North-South game and the Ohio-West Virginia and Wendy's Classic games. And you also currently still do a lot of work throughout the summer with Nike Elite events. And also you've kind of started doing your own little speaking circuit, a lot of different coaches' clinics all over the United States. So it doesn't seem for as you characterized it, an older guy, that you've lost any of your passion for coaching. What keeps you going, man?
I love it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, I think when you're going to get the honor that I'm going to get, and you got to think about all the people that you want to thank, which you never would have enough time to do something like that, Carl, because there's so many people in your life that have been so meaningful for you. But, you know, besides, you know, everybody thinks that the wins are sometimes the most important thing. The coaches will, and Matt will tell you this, you remember the defeats probably more than you do the wins somehow, because, you know, it just the hurt, you know, when you lose a game, something like that, and, you know, could I correct something like that? But I've always thought the association, the friendship that I've had with people and getting to meet people, I mean, I've been absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind, for a high school coach coming from southeastern Ohio, Oak Hill, Chesapeake, you know, not large towns, but I have been blessed to meet the people that I've been, and being on a daily basis with them, you know, talking, emailing them, texting them, calling them on the phone back and forth, and get to know the people I know. I think my relationship with everybody's probably means more to me probably than anything else.
Okay, well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of off the beaten path, but you obviously, the list of tournament games and the all the years dating back to, you know, many, many years ago, Combsy's going into a regional semi. And I know your answer is going to be he doesn't need any advice, but I would like to know, as a coach, if there is any advice, not so much X's and O's, but just how to handle things that you've kind of bought into over the years that you would give a young guy like Matt Combs.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny. I just got off the phone with another coach, and, you know, that is in the regional game in a different division. And, you know, he just wanted to know, hey, coach, you've been here before. You know, this is my first time. What can I do to get our kids prepared? And, you know, and exactly like you said, Carl, not about X's and O's.
Right.
Hey, first of all, Matt's a good coach. Matt has done a wonderful job at Benton County, not just because he's there with you, but, you know, no. He is very well respected for the job that he has done there. And the X's and O's, when you get this far, the one thing that I could tell you right now is don't drain your kids. I'm trying to think, what day do they play?
Thursday.
Okay, they Thursday. You know, there is so much pressure on a coach because, all right, you take somebody like Matt. He wants to get to the Final Four, and he wants to get to the state tournament. Keep your practices, number one, to a minimum. Don't overcoach the kids right now in practice because you've got 2 days. Listen, they're not going to learn anything more. The most important thing you can talk about is, okay, the team that we're playing, John Glenn, they're a very good team. We've got to respect them and give them two or three things that they're going to do well. And I think sometimes coaches get all fired. You know, they log themselves down by trying to talk about every single thing. And I learned that through experience. You know, hey, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to do that. You know, the kids are already upside. They're ready to play. And the best thing that could happen to Matt as a coach is that they could play tonight probably because his kids are just feeling it and they want to do that. The other big thing, and I've learned this through experience too, and I really think it hurt some of my teams when I was at Chesapeake. When you get to this point, and like you mentioned, you know, this is Benton County's second time, I believe, you'd get to the regional. Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants to do something special for your team. Everybody wants to say, hey, you know, I want to be part of the team myself. We're going to feed the kids. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Keep everything to a minimum. I always thought that, you know, no game is any bigger than what you're playing now. Well, yeah, it is because you're in the tournament. But, you know, when Matt beat, I think it was Megs, the last game of the year, that's got to be just as important, too. Try to keep every game to a certain point that you don't want the kids to get more uptight than basically they are. And Coach Combs and his coaching staff doesn't want to get uptight more than they want to do. You've got to try and stay relaxed as you did. Get them in practice, get them out there, and I say, guys, you know, Thursday will be here before you know it. I think those are the key things that I'm very stressed with them, trying to get to do, even with my kids this year when we were in a tournament. Don't try and change things around a whole lot. You know, you got to play. And the big thing is, and Matt will do this, he's going to make adjustments as the game goes on. That's the whole thing. What are you going to do when they do that? What are you going to do when you do this? And the Benton County people, they're going to be ready to go. They're going to have a great crowd. And, you know, it's going to be a great time for them.
You know, it's funny, some of those things you just said, Coach, make a lot of sense, and I'm sitting here laughing because they're very, very true, what you just said. You can tell you've been through this a few times. But, you know, the thing about it is, too, what's interesting is as you get deeper into the tournament, your turnaround times are so much shorter, you know, and I think a lot of people don't. I mean, if you think about the district tournament, you have 7 days, 10 days between games, and then, yeah, you know, in the regional, you go Thursday, Saturday. In the state, when you won the state championship, did you go Thursday, Saturday, or Friday,
yeah,
Saturday?
I can't remember. Thursday, Saturday.
We went, Thursday. That time. We went Tuesday, Friday, because the year we won, we were D4, so that was Tuesday.
Yeah, but I'm
Friday.
Talking in the state tournament. It was, what, Thursday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So Thursday, Saturday. And here's a perfect example. You want to try and upset the cartwheel. Two of my fine friends, one's my assistant coach, they tried to, which they did. We're playing in the state championship game. They tell me they're coming to my hotel at such and such time.
Okay.
No, this is a good story.
Number one, they were late.
Okay.
Okay. So, of course, I wasn't nervous. And number two, once we did the interview, they lost it.
They lost the recording. Yeah, that's a great story.
Lost the recording.
Okay.
I just knew I had to throw that in.
Back up.
You know what you're saying, Matt, is true. But, you know, Hey, just go about doing what you feel comfortable with. And, you know, don't overload your kids with certain things. Yeah, it's a shorter period of time, but you know what? It's the same thing for your opponent. Everything's the same.
Yep.
And here's the one thing that you got going for you. You've been on that court. They haven't. I think they get a practice time, do they not?
I think if they want it. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, and a pass heavy end played on the court, they'll get a practice time. But you know what? That practice time is one thing, but being in front of the crowd and the noise is totally different. So, you know, and anything you can do and tell your kids that, hey, this is an advantage for us. We've been on that floor, you know, is extremely important. The whole thing about it is, you know, don't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter if you're playing a team that you know you're going to beat or a team that you think you can beat or whatever it is. You've got to get your kids to believe, you know, because, hey, it's tournament time and crazy things happen as well. You know, look at I may be wrong, but well, you guys probably the underdog in at least two or three of your games.
Right, right.
So, and, you know, you guys have come out and just you've had a great tournament run right now, so it can't end for you. That's how you got to think.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
definitely.
Just to set the record straight there, Coach. The tournament weekend thing about coming to your hotel, that wasn't my fault. Okay, just for the record, would you agree with me?
Well, Carl, I understand, and you know, and I would never say it was your fault. And if the people don't know whose fault it was John David Hale, okay?
AKA JJ.
Here's the same guy that he comes into our practice. He only makes the practice like five times a year, okay? Five times a year, and then he tells everybody he's an assistant coach. Okay, whatever. You know, if he feels good about telling everybody he's one of our assistant coaches, I think he should be an assistant coach. Okay, if he wants to be a janitor, we'll let him be a janitor. But he comes into our practice four times out of five times this year, and he's been late.
Yeah, I understand you like late. To watch. You look down at your wrist, according to him, and you don't even have a watch on.
In numerous time, and we ask the kids what happens when you're late. Kids say, Coach, I got to do sprints, so... JJ, get on the line. You thought he lost his dog, his cat, and his whole family when I asked him to get on the line.
I've seen JJ run. I wouldn't call that a sprint.
did you call Oak Hill EMS as a standby?
Pretty much so. Yeah, absolutely. So, but well, we like to bug him, but JJ's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a good employee too.
There you go.
Took a little while to get him there, but yeah, he does a great job. And as far as the Hall of Fame induction, JJ came to the office, I think it was last week, and said, yeah, Norm, JJ's speaking to me, Norm wanted to know if you're coming up for the induction. And I looked at him and I said the words, and he said, that's exactly what Norm said you would say. What did you think I would say?
Well, I didn't know, but I know Matt will be there because he's a director.
No, I might come.
Know, yeah, well, you know, and it was JJ's there, and I've got you guys. And then, you know, if you can bring some more of those fine gentlemen from that I respect so much from Benton County, we'll have a whole table with Viking Maroon right there.
Now, will you be paying for all of our food and drink, or will Lip Trap be paying for that?
Hey, you know how I've been. I'm a cordial guy when it comes to that. I take care of everything, you know. I always have. I mean, I've always had plenty of room, too, for you guys. Anytime.
Yeah, last time you got me a room, I slept on a hotel room love seat, and JJ slept on the floor with no pillow. While you had a king size bed.
Well, you know, when you're old like me, you know, you need a little bit more room. That's the only thing.
The visual that I had that next morning when we woke up after being up there for the girls' tournament is one Norman J. Pearson walking across the hotel room in his underwear going to the bathroom. No, if I'm coming up, I will take care of my own hotel accommodations, Coach. Thanks.
Well,
thanks,
that'd be fine. But you know, the thing about the Hall of Fame right now is just getting a lot of the ex players back, especially the kids at Chesapeake. It's been a while since I've got in. You know, a lot of them they're coming to the situation, and I tell you, there are going to be some stories, and I don't think they'll be real cordial. So it should be an interesting night for them.
Yeah, I think Soft Ear should stay out of a lot of those stories because I'm sure they're great memories now, but maybe at the time they weren't. They didn't settle real well, but
no, they probably didn't. But you know, every time you see one of those guys now, they, you know, I was scouting Fairland before the tournament, and there was a couple of my ex players were sitting down in front of me, and they came up and they started telling me about some of those things that, you know, when they were playing for me, and it's hilarious. It is, and some of the things I don't even remember. But you know, the thing whole about it, I mean, you know, they really respected it and they honored it, and they said, you know, hey, maybe we wouldn't have been as good the whole way, but I've always had good, great players, and better yet, been good people.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, really, in all honesty, any coach that I've known for any amount of time at all, it's not just about the basketball, but as you get to know them, they say, oh, I remember this year we had this kid, or we were in this game, or we had this situation where a kid forgot his shoes. And at the time, you coaches are fighting mad, but, you know, give it a few years to breathe and it just becomes a funny joke. So you might have a book deal. You know, when you decide to finally hang it up and retire, just get you a good publisher and just start memoirs of 30 or 40 years in coaching. That'd be, might make you some money.
Yeah, might make me a little bit. I probably need it by then. But, you know, yeah, it people just don't understand. I mean, seriously, I mean, they don't understand what coaches have to really go through. I mean, you know, especially as long as I've been in it. And Jay Klein, you know, who coaches in the same league there, I think he may have said, nice. He may have said it best. He said, how many years is this now for you? And I told him it was 38, and this was just recently. And he goes, you've always been my idol. And he said, but you're an idiot. You know, it just, he said, when you think about it and you stay in it that long, you know, and really, I mean, how many guys can do that, stay in it as long as they have anymore? The weight pressure is getting, you know, from the community and from the parents and some of these things. You know, I'm talking to guys that I know of that, you know, it was just one guy out of Iowa. He loses the state championship last year. And I've been good friends with him from a long time, and I got to know him real well in the National Federation Tournament when he coached the Iowa team, and I coached Ohio, and we had a really good relationship. He took his team to the state runner-up and got fired.
Wow.
And got fired. And Matt will know this one about Sean O'Toole from St. Ignatius. Wonderful guy and an excellent coach, and he got fired at St. Ignatius because they told him that they just didn't like the way he stared at his players. That was the reason they didn't like the way he stared at his players. And now, St. Ignatius will probably be in the Final Four. And that's the type of team they had coming back. It was a sad situation for John.
Yeah. If the administration for places you coached didn't like the way you looked or stared at people, you'd been out of work a long time ago.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, it just every school's a little bit different, you know, it really is, and the whole thing about it, I mean, to be in it as long as people like myself and Coach Osborne and Coach Jordan and people like that, and just in our area here, you've got to have tremendous backing, you know, from your people and from your administration and stuff, so, you know, because nobody's going to be perfect, and, you know, you're not going to win every single game, so, you know, you got to live with it.
Norm, we really appreciate your time, and congratulations, my friend. Should be a good weekend and good evening in April, and I'm sure I can get hotel directions from JJ because he knows where every hotel is in Columbus, so he'll get us right where we need to be.
Thank you. I'm guaranteed he'll take care of you guys. There's
all right.
No question. And hey, I appreciate the interview, and hey, good luck to you guys this weekend, and I hope everything goes well for the Vikes.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Take care.
Appreciate it, man.
Coach Norm Pearson of the Oak Hill Oaks, our guest this week on the Viking Realm Ball podcast. Always a good time. And kind of got a schedule we got to follow here. But next segment, I'm going to get the household view, the domesticated, from the beautiful, intelligent, and talented, and very friendly, the better end of the Combs household. Amy Combs is next on the Viking Realm Ball podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it be before or after your tournament basketball game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. Alongside Coach Combs, Carl Knox, happy to welcome in our second guest of the show. Coach, is that not just beautiful or what? Go ahead. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Helps when I turn your mic on.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to welcome, with a smile on your face, is beaming, Amy Combs. How are you, dear?
I am good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just wanted to get the truth about how this tournament run's really going. We had you on earlier in the year, talked about the ups and downs and psychosis of being married to a basketball coach. But honestly, before we get into throwing jokes at your husband, I think I speak for all of Viking Nation and saying that we kind of owe you a big thank you, because I think like 90% of all basketball teams, high school basketball teams in the state of Ohio, are done now. So most coaches' wives that have endured the same thing you're used to now, and the 9 or 10 years you and Matt have been married, normally life's back to normal, but in a good way, because they're still winning, the kids are doing it, and he's having fun. But I know it's chaotic and it's a grind, not just for him, but also for you. And I think a lot of people realize that. So first and foremost, thanks for putting up with what you do.
Well, at times it is not easy.
Well, it beats losing, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. This is much better than losing. Yes.
Well, with that being said, Friday night, this past Friday night, when they took care of Fairfield Union, probably one of the coolest sights as all this stuff's going on, kids jumping around, fans going nuts, and I look down and there's you and the boys coming down on the floor to congratulate, you know, Matt. That probably doesn't get, I mean, this is your second district, you know, second time he's won a district, but it probably doesn't get old for you, does it?
No. It's very exciting. It's really exciting for him and for the kids, and then to see the community support, all the fans that turned out. It's really a cool thing.
Yeah. Do you have any questions, Coach?
No, I don't have any questions. But I will say that it is fun to enjoy it with the family. And I had told Amy before, I think it was during a sectional, that Brevin every day was like, "Dad, we got to make it to the convo. Dad, we got to make it to the convo." So, if I didn't have enough pressure already, you know, my 8-year old being crushed if we didn't win the sectional was on top of that. But he really wanted to get back there, and you know, he's so I'm glad we did. I would have never dreamed necessarily then. You're not thinking very far ahead that you'd be where you are now. But it's been a lot of fun for those two boys. I know they've enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and in all honesty, Amy does have to make quite a sacrifice with, you know, we live an hour and 20 minutes probably away, maybe more, hour and a half from Athens, yes. You know, and when you're loading two kids up and trying to get them down there and entertain them during the game and then drive them home and they're already dead tired, it's not easy. So I am appreciative that the boys have got to do it with us.
Yeah, and I think back to the last time you won the district, we've talked about this before, Brevin wasn't even 1 year old.
No,
was
Brevin,
like maybe
was
9 months.
Brevin was born in 07 in June.
And you won it in March of 08.
Yeah, he wasn't quite 1 year old.
Yeah, I don't even think he was walking yet. So, but obviously, yeah. How's, you know, with all the fun stuff going on and happy and all that, I'm sure that, and a lot of listeners don't realize it, constantly he's getting phone calls or he's going out to scout. It's not just the game nights, and obviously practice is a little shorter. He's getting home at an earlier time. But with that being said, there's still a lot of nights that I know he might come home and immediately go downstairs and start watching film or something like that. How do the boys handle, are they, I don't say a distraction, but do they get it? Do they understand how much Dad has to work at this time of the year?
I know that they notice when he's not home. I don't know that they necessarily identify it as work. So I don't know if they notice so much, you know, kind of the toll that it can take on Matt.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that kind of goes to Matt's benefit. He does a pretty good job of separating it out whenever he does get home outside of, you know, last night was the most important night the last probably 10 weeks. Downton Abbey came to its final season, final episode, and very important night for me.
Yeah.
And of course, he was sitting on the couch with the laptop watching game film. So, you know, there's times when I need support too, and it didn't happen last night. I will have to say that. I was grieving.
She was struggling with Downton Abbey until Game of Thrones comes back on. Then she'll forget all about it, and she'll be happy with Game of Thrones.
Well, that's companionship. You can't get no. I can't throw no because I I don't watch shows with my wife and daughter because they're into all that drama stuff and reality. And
yeah,
and as I put it, if it's not ESPN or, you know, news, I have no interest. But, you know, again, I know we're kind of short on time because somebody has to go because they're always in a hurry and they're always texting. It's not you either, Amy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You know
how
it
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really knows how to make someone feel special, you know, just like that show last night. You know, all you're asking for is just a little attention, just a little engagement of support.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A little support.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're already planning. Coach Carpenter is brought up the there needs to be a coaches pool party symposium this summer. So we'll make sure you have a good night.
All right.
We might even turn it into like a weekend event.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds good.
And you can just boss Matt around the whole weekend.
Does he get daddy duty that night?
Oh, the whole weekend. Daddy duty, driving duty, duty duty.
Duty duty at least is over. That was a couple years ago.
hey, I don't know. The little tornado can, you know, anything.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the other point, you know, not just, you know, two boys. One boy. And then the little blonde tornado.
Yeah,
he's not your average 4-year-old.
The Tasmanian devil, yeah.
I kept looking down on the convo floor as all this is going on, thinking at any... I looked at Angie, and I was like, at any given time, I wouldn't shock me to see Brogan just start running. Just running all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he tried. He tried to take off as Fairfield Union was getting their medals. That wouldn't have been good, so we... I intercepted him, and he had to hang out with Mom until it was our turn.
You can get him some, like, straps.
Yeah, one
like
of those retractable.
We need one of those leashes.
Yeah.
Just take Scott.
Leashes, but I always thought that was just so horrible to have your kid on a leash, and Brogan needs one.
Yeah. Yes. Got a little too much of his daddy in that, you know, that young man. Amy, again, thanks a lot for all that you do and put up with, and... as much, you know, we want them to keep winning. We'll wish the best for them this week and hopefully next week and, you know, as we move forward. But I know it's not only a grind for him, it's a grind for you, and we certainly appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Amy. We'll talk to you later.
You too.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The one and only. Man, you overachieved on that, man.
Outpunted my coverage.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Outpunted your coverage. That is a good, smart, good-looking, nice, extraordinarily patient. Yep. I know you got to go. Practice. Remember what Coach Pearson said.
You know, that actually, that he gave great advice, and we try to do some of that. Our practices are usually kind of short right now, and you don't want to overload the kids. But we do have some things for John Glenn because they're kind of a unique opponent with their pressure and the way they play. And so we've got some things we got to go over, but, you know, hopefully our kids will be ready Thursday night.
All right. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thanks.
For Matt Combs, Carl Noxan, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's.